Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
I'm Anthony Casella.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And we are here to talk about the housewives you love and the cities that they live in. Today with us, we have Alistair Williams, and he is the founder of Funk Soul. Hello, Alistair.
Hey, how are you all? So good to be on. Excited.
Welcome.
I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you. I mean, Diane and I have been going back and forth via text for the past several weeks, so this is really meant to happen today. I am really happy about this.
You had a lot to say. I just couldn't leave you in text messages any longer.
We love people who have a lot to say. So...
Before we get into Housewives, Alistair, tell us about your company. Tell us about Funk Soul.
Thank you so much. So Funk Soul is a wellness company, and our goal is to shift the consciousness of self-care from luxury to necessity. And we're beginning with dance programming, and that's a wonderful way to express yourself through joy and the amazing music that we play. In addition to that, you get a great workout, and that's really great for your body as well. So I think that especially right now in quarantine, additionally, just, you know, just who we are, where we are in our culture right now, it's just super, super important that we take care of our mental, emotional, and physical health. And that's what we aim to do. Additionally, for every private class that we book, we give a free class to a BIPOC and or LGBTQIA plus group. So for instance, Dropbox hired us for their wellness week in August, and we're giving a free class to Trans Tech Social, which is an organization that supports the trans community and getting them involved in tech and a bunch of other things too. So again, we want to kind of target everybody, but we do love the opportunity of sharing the wealth with those who may not be able to afford it and who desperately need it, especially right now. In our culture today. So just happy to do the work of the Lord. And it's just lots of fun to dance and get paid for it. So I'm grateful.
I've been taking classes with him the past 3 weeks. I took a Funk Soul class. I'm a better podcaster than I am dancer, but
live.
That sounds great. I might have to try it. I have some quarantine pounds I'd like to lose.
So, Anthony, funny you should say that, because Alistair brought with him today free passes for 10 listeners. So all you have to do is stay tuned to the end of the episode when we do our weekly Know That segment. And the first 10 people to DM our Instagram account at Know That Pod with this week's Know That will win a pass. And then you can take a class with Alistair, and I will be there as well.
That's really so cool. Fun.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Definitely. No problem. Anytime.
So now we got the good stuff out of the way. Let's get to the bad. We're going to deal with Kelly Dodd in our current events today. So this is not going to be fun to talk about. I don't even want to waste my breath, but why have a platform if we're not going to use it to talk about stuff like this? So... Amen. Kelly Dodd from The Real Housewives of the OC has been problematic for a little bit now. She has been speaking out on her accounts about anti-masking and the virus being a hoax and all of that. She's marrying someone, Anthony, correct me if I'm right, from Fox News?
Yes.
Okay, thought so. Okay,
oh, moving on.
Oh my god.
This week was her bridal shower. Not one mask was in a photo, but we'll excuse that and move on to what we're here to talk about. She received a gift, and on it, in the Black Lives Matter font, it said Drunk Wives Matter. So the internet, for good reason, went on her social media and said what they had a problem with, and she doubled down on it. She said the hat was a gift, and it was ordered long before, quote, the black thing. And then she said, fuck you if you're too dumb to get the joke.
So we're supposed to believe that that was ordered, what, 500 years ago?
Right.
It doesn't even make sense. I'm not really sure. Saying drunk wives matter can't be a playoff of anything else.
Right.
Right. Right. For me, it's just weird because I think that if she just said, it's a joke, I'm sorry for offending anyone, it would have gone over a bit better. I mean, being a black male myself, there is some humor to the play on words, but her denial of it, as well as her fuck you to the rest of the world because of it, it's just it's a bad response to something that's very, very, very easy to cover up. Like, easy to, it's simply, simple to explain, rather. Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, she thinks COVID is a hoax, so clearly we're not dealing with Einstein. here. So I guess it makes sense that she would do something incredibly unnecessary and stupid, like a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Every time she would delete one of her Instagram posts without an apology and then double down and release like two more. There were 6 videos last night. And I just don't understand.
This isn't even the first time she's done something like this. Like you said, she's been problematic for a while. And I mean, Bravo has stepped up with their response to in supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. And her perspective is completely at odds, in theory, with her employer. So it's I'd like to know a little bit about what is or what's not happening behind the scenes in terms of reprimanding Kelly or why exactly she feels so emboldened to continue this line of talking.
Yeah, and I'm just confused because when Bravo allows these actions, it wouldn't be excused if she was an actress on a sitcom or, you know, like that. Like, they were quick to fire Roseanne. So why, just because she's a reality star, are we keeping her around?
That's true. I also think that Roseanne kind of, I don't want to say hers was worse, but she made a really big no-no. And I think it's a little bit more nuanced with Kelly Dodd because there's a lot of people who are, you know, like her and are viewers. And it's not as like, you know, she didn't call a Black person a monkey on TV. Right. Like that's, yeah. I mean, on Twitter. So it's, I think that's why they're dragging their feet, but she's just racist and they should do something about it, I believe. But I have no proof. But
well, the hat might be dark.
If she's not a racist, she's off to a great start. So.
In some regard, I feel like the Kelly thing is worse than the Roseanne thing.
Really?
If this is an ongoing behavior, there's a problem with that. I mean, Roseanne, you know, and I have no reason to doubt her, blamed it on, you know, her sleep medication. And, you know, again, you know, the overall humor of the joke from a comedian, I'm able to kind of stomach a bit easier. You know what I'm saying? I also think we could have used a bit more grace as a society on Roseanne, not to pounce so hard. I mean, she lost her everything because of that one tweet. But with Kelly in particular, if there is a pattern of behavior, that needs to be addressed because that's an ongoing thing that could get worse.
Right. That's I agree with that. What I meant when I said that I felt it was worse, I feel like it seemed worse to other people that weren't people of color. I find what Kelly did worse, because I've told Donnie multiple times that I don't agree with what Roseanne did. But as a comedian, for her to basically give up her life's work and apology, that's a huge thing to do. So I do agree that, but what I'm saying is that I feel like what Kelly is doing is more in line and softer with what a lot of the Bravo audience does. And I think that's why it's harder to prosecute necessarily.
Yeah.
Roseanne also thought the bitch was white. So we have to excuse her.
God damn it.
Somebody had to say it.
I was waiting, hoping nobody took my cue. All right, so that's enough about Kay Dodd. Let's jump right into Potomac. As I was taking notes for this episode, I felt like I was just transcribing the whole episode. We're talking about a lot. So before we get into the episode, Alistair, what is your history with Potomac? Just tell us your overall thoughts on the season, the series.
So, you know, Potomac is a must-watch for me. It's one of those things that me and my partner do every single Sunday. We have to watch the show. My overall view on Potomac this season is two things. One, you can tell that they're all coworkers and not really friends. And that comes through in every single scene because they don't even connect with each other in a fun, jovial kind of way. So I think me as a viewer, I'm watching being like, so do y'all really like each other? Because y'all act like you're in two different cubicles. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the first thing. I also think that the show just needs to be recast. I think that we've aligned too many cliques, and those cliques are weighing down the show. I think the whole Giselle and Robin thing needs to be broken up. I think that, you know, this Monique and Candace thing, I think that again, there are just too many cliques happening right now. And I think that, again, we just need to start from scratch and, like, hold on to Karen. I love Karen. She's the realest of the bunch in this season, as well as, you know, hold on to Candace and a few others. But I think a bunch of them can really go. a bunch of them can really go.
I agree. I think we should keep Karen, Ashley, T'Challa, and Candace's therapist, and just T'Challa. And we'll wipe the slate clean with everybody.
I mean, at this point, yes, get rid of her fast. At this point, Robin and Giselle are a showmance, and the thing is, like, with all of these cliques and everybody aligning, it is very clear that they're coworkers. That's true, but you have Wendy coming in, like. Most Housewives franchises, they act like they don't know anything about the show before they get there. Wendy was like, I know that you're a fake bitch because I watched you in season two. Right, and it's like, come on.
The addition of Wendy to me, I think it's great that you have an educated, accomplished, dark-skinned Black woman on the show. I just think that she doesn't offer anything to the show. And I think she's also just not, and Donnie, you said this to me, you know, she's not a housewife, you know, like there's,
she's not, I
like to see the bougie. And I think that Wendy is playing bougie, but she's really educated and accomplished. Yeah. Like, do that. Like in MSNBC, do that, you know?
Like, we wanted a snob and we got an intellectual snob instead.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And in terms of the group, she doesn't feel like the title of a housewife either. And I don't know if it's her personality or the editing, or she's entering a season where so much else is happening that we're not getting time to get to know her. But we're just seeing her at these dinners yelling at these women for basically no reason.
We're doing commentary. It's like she's at work. She's just giving commentary. And like, it looks like her storyline is going to go into her, like, you know, I've achieved too much. And I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Neither do I.
She kind of reminds me of, and I know Tanya is not a housewife, but she kind of reminds me of Tanya from Atlanta in the way that Tanya is basically like an activities director for the crew, for the
cast. You mean Tanya?
Tanya.
Okay. I love
your mistake.
You do not. Stop.
I love Tanya. I think Tanya has lightened a very, very heavy show. I mean, like, the show, Atlanta just got weighed down with way too much drama. So Tanya kind of just boosts everyone up. Like, I just love Tanya.
If I wanted to see that positivity and kindness, I would go to Canada with Tanya. But
genuinely.
So shifting gears back to Potomac, we have this situation where we have three people carrying the entire show. Candace, Monique, and Ashley. With Karen as like the fan favorite. We have Giselle, who has nothing going on to the point where she's gotten back into a bad relationship to have a storyline. And Robin's whole storyline is that Juan don't want her. So
it's not right.
They are literally a waste of space.
Absolutely. And I think that I find with both Giselle and Robin, their storylines could work if you were rooting for either of them. But because they don't offer much to the show, you can't like find an in, you know, like, and that's what's difficult about that pairing. Additionally, I do want to say this. If they were lesser attractive women, I don't think they'd be on the show very long.
That's true.
And I think that they are just adding looks, which is, I get it. It's TV. It's important. But they are, in some regard, the pairing, they're weighing down the show. What happens when Giselle leaves, or what happens when Robin leaves? Let's see what the personalities are actually like.
They are beautiful. And I mean, I think you're right, because clearly Giselle's gone really far being that beautiful. She can't even read.
Hello?
Robin's energy is like... Robin's energy is that of someone whose friend signed them up for an after-school activity. And she kind of just is tagging along with Giselle. Absolutely. On like Giselle's like, come on, Robin, we have to go to your book. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of, and Robin's like, ugh.
So yeah, I'll go, but.
Yeah. She brings pizza and stuff.
No, she goes for the pizza.
To that point, Quinn, with regard to Giselle and her literary award, being fair to Giselle, public reading is very, very hard. Like, you're all nervous and tense. You're skipping words around. So in fairness to that, I was surprised that the book did so well. I was really surprised by that. Like,
I mean, everybody wanted to know what happened. So that's probably what it was.
Like, it did. Congratulations to Giselle.
You're right. She could have been nervous. I mean, it was probably her idea to read, but she could have been unprepared for that.
Giselle's our next Lori Moore.
It's like, it's not a good way to be like, after that, oh, I get a literary award. I'm like, okay. All
right. Right. Right.
Trump with the Nobel Peace Prize. Got it.
Right.
Since we're already talking about Giselle, how did we feel about her bringing the security guard?
Hi, KB.
He should have been undercover fashion police. Did you see what she was wearing?
Yeah, she should have used that money to hire a stylist instead of a security guard.
That fringe top with those Starfleet command medals on the...
Lord.
She was like a full corporal.
On the after show, Robin said, how much did you spend on him? I could have protected you. You couldn't, you should have saved your money. I was like, Robin, that's because you want her to pay you.
We need some money. Don't we all? Well, I mean, I thought that Giselle's, I thought that the bodyguard, of course, it was a prop, right? We all know it was a prop. He wasn't going to be needed for that event. But I also thought that it spoke volumes to where Giselle is emotionally with Monique. And I think that now that Monique has broken the barrier of human civility, Giselle has a real right to be like, listen, I'm not dealing with it at work. I'm not going to put myself in danger. And not only that, I believe you and I believe who you are. And I believe you so much. Here's the proof. You know what I'm saying? So I felt it clearly was a prop, but I thought it highlighted a much bigger issue that Monique really crossed the boundary when she got into the fight with Candace that needs to be addressed because they shouldn't have to deal with that at work.
True. And as Giselle being the second most likely person to get beat up, that is a precedent that she should not want to continue.
Right.
To me, it was just an extension of when she wore that T-shirt to Karen's press conference. Oh, like, she's always doing stuff
exactly.
like that.
Right. She's good for as hell. Good for
Whose idea was it to deliver that pizza to Karen? Was that her idea too?
I think that was Robin.
I know Robin did it.
Robin doesn't have ideas. So
she's Barney Rubble.
She's trying.
I thought Giselle arriving with KB, it felt like, okay, so maybe it was really for protection she thought she needed. It felt to me like it was, like we all kind of just said, in line with the T-shirt gag, in line with the pizza, but it felt off base for the kind of event this was.
Yeah,
like it made sense to wear like a tacky T-shirt to a press conference with no press or no answers.
right.
It was
right.
funny to deliver a pizza to a home that no one lived in. Right, but this was something this was something a little different, and it was almost supposed to be like a. I don't know. It felt to me like it was a joke that got lost, but I don't think she would say it was a joke. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. I think that, I think it was meant to, well, I'll say this actually. I think that in her circle of high profile preachers of mega churches like Jamal, they typically roll with security. Mm-hmm. So I think that like, she probably was like, or Jamal may have even said, oh, we don't play like that. Bring security with you. Giselle may have even asked for it. So I think that it isn't a far-fetched request because of the circle that she's in. But I think that it is in some regard a joke that definitely got lost because it felt awkward for him to be in the other room watching the conversation. It didn't gel right at all. Yeah. It just didn't gel.
And that's interesting too, because Jamal doesn't strike me as someone who's overly concerned with protection. So the fact that Giselle would pick up a bodyguard habit from him, I mean, she has an image to protect as well as a body.
What image are we protecting exactly?
Right.
If I were her, I would want fights to happen around me. So they were talking about that, the Ashley Darby school.
Not an image that's well dressed for sure.
Right.
You know, right. I don't want to fall into being catty. I don't want to do that, but
he will.
I will. He has a lot of children and they're not with her. And everybody knows that.
Right.
For her to bring up their image. Is laughable. And now on top of everything else, she's become a reality spectacle.
Right.
What is she even talking about? And then her daughters told her not to be with him. That's a really big red flag when somebody who came out of your husband tells you not to have anything to do with him.
Well, that's what, when she was saying to Monique, my daughters didn't want me to come today. Well, we're listening to them now because they also said, don't go back with our dad.
They were like, they were so mad about that. They didn't even want that restaurant. They were like, no.
Yeah. That whole family dynamic is very interesting. Yeah. And I've been noticing it since like a couple of episodes in, where Giselle was like, I'm the parent and something, something, something. And I was just like, well, it's important for your kids to have a voice. Like, you know, like that's important. Mm-hmm. The image thing also struck me as strange because like Giselle's, if she's going with the whole first lady and pastor thing, Giselle's talking about dick and you know, cursing on camera and all of that. Like what's the image that she hasn't hurt herself or tarnished herself from already being on the show? So it was just like a weird thing for her to say as if fighting was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like you're on Real Housewives. Like pick it up. Like
if the last few years have taught me anything, I think maybe I got religion wrong. I think that maybe I should just go to church and just keep doing whatever the hell I want to do, and then just get the support of Christians. Like if that's literally all I have to do. I can go sit in a pew for a couple hours.
Well, that's what
you absolutely should.
When Monique, towards the end of the episode, kept saying, like, I need to go see my pastor. I said, that's the only thing you need to do?
Right.
Not pastor. Not pastor.
Like, that was weird.
As far as images, I was just going to say, no matter who you are, people who have images to protect don't go on reality TV.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right.
You go on reality TV to make money.
Of course.
Yeah. Right. To build a brand. That is why you do reality TV.
Yep.
Yeah. And you also know that you have to make a spectacle of yourself. I mean, these shows only thrive off of the conflict and drama. So, like, if you're going on the show to be like, penny polished, it's not going to actually happen for you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was a weird line to throw in. And I think that it was, again, another self-righteous Giselle moment that she does very, very well. And I think that's authentically her, but it didn't fit in this scene at all.
Something that I think fit into the scene, but still made me feel some kind of way about it. How do we feel when Ashley tried to talk about, do we hold men to the same standards as we're holding Monique? And they all shut her down and then instead talked about the stereotype she's falling into. I think that's a multi-layered conversation I want to have right now.
Oh boy. Well, clearly they have blind spots because they're into this respectability BS that they're putting on Monique.
Right.
Like I said before, with all the violence that we've been seeing from white people all throughout history and around the world, to say that her laying hands on Candace is,
right,
and from what I can guess, part of the reason black people are being killed by the police, I can only assume that that's part of what they mean, or at least part of it. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's accurate. And I think we come to a place in society where we have to recognize that there are violent people. Monique does make perfect sense to her. It doesn't mean she's a bad person, but it's very clear that it makes perfect sense to her.
Right.
And what kind of repercussions should she have for this? And, you know, that's a conversation to have. But these women are going to hold men accountable the same way they're not going to see what role Candace played in this. Like, they're just, they have a big blind spot about that.
And that's the thing, too. I think that no matter what Monique would have done when she arrived at this house wasn't going to be enough. They knew how they felt about this conversation. They knew how they felt about her. And they were rolling eyes and scoffing and looking at each other and all of that, getting on their phone. They weren't there to give her a chance.
It was also too soon to have this conversation. And you're talking about days after. Right. It was just too soon. Everyone is still pretty heated. And I think with regard to the race and women conversation, I think there's a lot that our society and culture, especially white culture, can shake about the black community. But I think that as a black community, we have to shake some things too. And I know for myself personally, you know, I go into a room feeling like I am responsible for all black people all of the time. So I think that needs to be let go, you know, because it's not fair to villainize Monique or to put Monique on a cross as if she's the representative for all of the black people. And because of her fight, the whole, it crumbles the community. Like, you know, it's just, it's unfair to her. And that's something that the Black community has to shake too, that we don't, one person doesn't represent all of us. We aren't a monolith and we need to say it for ourselves.
I agree with that.
Even if people are watching the show to get, quote, the Black experience, Monique is still one of six or one of seven. So right. yes, this right. Black woman is doing this, but you right. six are not. Wendy is on right. CNN. She's on whatever. Monique is not the sole takeaway of this show.
Right, right.
I wouldn't use Wendy as the example of restraint and, you know, that is not.
Fine, the grand dame then.
Oh, yes, my fave. I will say though, Donna, you were talking about Monique and her come to Jesus moment across the board, where she was kind of, you know, saying sorry to everyone. I found that she was grasping at every straw she could get, from Jesus to the baby to the pastor to I'm embarrassed. I mean, she was grasping at everything.
I think, and I'm a Monique apologist, as we all know, but I do think, I think that whenever she tried one angle, it was shot down. So then she felt the need to try another one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
She was dancing pretty fast.
I thought there were some ways that you could feel her. I thought the conversation at first went well. I thought she was presenting herself well, and not Giselle. But I got the sense that maybe Robin and Wendy were more open than Giselle was.
Right,
and when I think Monique felt as though they were closing off their understanding, she closed off her need to explain in a way that would satisfy them. And by the time it got to, I think there was one exchange where Wendy said, "Well, are you sorry?" And Monique said, "Sorry for what?" Right. I was kind of like, honey, these right. glib kind of answers aren't.
Hello?
They're
like,
not
you know, you kind of have to play in the,
right.
you know what she's referring to. So it's not, it's right. either like, no, I'm not, which it didn't right. sound like she was embarrassed, right. not sorry.
Yeah. Right. But
sorry for what? Yeah. isn't the answer.
I do think Alistair's right, though, that it was too soon after. I think the fight this was 5 days after the fight. So Monique was still, she sent that tweet out. She maybe told the press, whatever. She was still in her feelings about it. And then, speaking from personal experience, if I apologize and I'm ready to apologize and I don't feel like that apology is being heard or taken in, it hypes me back up to be just as angry as I was originally. Like, I'm putting myself on the table and you smacked me back off. So now I'm just going to flip the whole table over.
Yeah. I think I would have had a personal apology with everybody except Candace. And
except
Candace. That would have had to come later.
Right.
But
right.
I think I would have apologized to everybody else as for, you know, I'm sorry. Even if me just saying I'm sorry, I ruined your evening. Like, that way I feel she would. And this is just me thinking, I guess. I think she needed allies more than Karen. And she went into this battle without the numbers she needed. And so I would not have ever gone into that without people.
So smart.
Having my back. So
on national TV, like,
on national
TV, prepare
TV.
Yourself. Like,
yes.
I also think that they were the women were talking about a different thing than Monique. Monique was talking about the fight, right? And her being embarrassed about the fight. The women were talking about human civility. And I think that I think if Monique just said, "I am sorry, I lost control, I messed up, I still have issues with Candace, but like, I can't hit people. It's unacceptable." The whole room, of course, still annoyed and pissed off, would be a bit more receptive to to her process and her being human, I guess. I think that because Candace, and still does, come to the table defending her actions, she's missing the whole point of, as a human, as a civil human, you can't cross that line. And that's what I think that the women were weren't receptive to, because Monique didn't get that she crossed the line. She was still very, very, she was still very angry about the argument, and the argument isn't the big issue right now. Not for these women, at least.
Right.
I have a mother, like I've said before, I have a mother who's done that. I've seen my mother fight in front of me. And I also saw my aunt tell my mother, "You have kids, you can't do that anymore."
Right.
And that was the last time I've seen my mother ever do anything like that.
Right.
So
right.
there are women who believe you get what you get, and you know, fuck around and find out. And
right.
That's definitely Monique, but you can't, you know, you can't. She is a wealthy woman living in a wealthy lifestyle.
Right.
My mother was a woman living in the burbs. You can't do that anymore. You gotta change. And I would like Monique to have recognized that. But at the end of all of that, I kind of really felt like she left out of there. You get what you get. And right. I don't know if Absolutely. That's going to change with her.
Well, it's been a year since. It's been a year since the fight. And it doesn't seem like on social media or Watch What Happens Live or anything like that. It doesn't seem like she has changed any viewpoints.
Her position. From
And not only does that continue to make her a liability, but it continues to give the women who were against her after the fight, it just keeps feeding them.
Right.
It's politics.
This would be over if she just apologized. Like, this 100%. Would be over. Yeah. I lost control. I'm sorry. Now, a year later, and it's still going. She's on the press circuit talking about this Candace in the glass thing that we all saw is not the most true.
Right.
It's just she's missing her opportunity to let this go. But, and I have to say this, but the biggest thing, you know, I'm not a Giselle fan, y'all. Beautiful woman. And I think that she's very, very funny, but I'm not a fan. Giselle had the best line or monologue of the show. Season one, you had the whole the interview where you said you were going to punch me in the face. Season two, it was the altercation with the umbrella with Monique. Season three, it was Candace, and you said you were going to drag her while you were pregnant. Season four, you actually drug her. Like, at the end of the day, like, this is a moment for Monique to reflect and say, maybe I do have some form of violent tendency, because there is a pattern here, you know, and comparable to Kelly in different ways that we have to acknowledge. And Monique isn't at that place to be real with herself, to deal with herself.
I'm still confused about what made her so angry to do what she did. Can anyone fill me in as to what got her to that point? Because the show isn't clearly stating why Monique with Candace specifically.
From what I've been able to surmise, they were trying to come after her marriage. They spread these rumors with Charisse about the baby that she had not being Chris's. She trusted Candace. Candace basically made her vulnerable by trafficking in that with Charisse and being cool with Charisse after that. That caused her to feel betrayed. Right. And that's how we get to where she won't let it go. Yeah. And I see how it got there. It's a shame that it got there. I would have rather Monique played it more smart, apologized, and got everybody back later.
Right. Does Chris know this story? Because he still seems to be on Candace and Chris's side.
Because he is, I think, because Chris is a rational person. Chris is rational. You can see it in his face when she talks about it. He's like, you my wife, and I'm a have your back. But you can tell every time it comes up, he does not agree.
Yeah.
Right.
And as a big person, I feel that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff I could go around and beat the hell out of people and get my way. I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, Quinn, to your point, I think that Monique, and I've been here and you've seen this with Phaedra as well in Atlanta, Monique may have let Candace in behind the veil, you know, and when you cross that line, and typically I am this, you know, really controlling, you know, really, you know, there's a wall up with Monique that they all talk about on the show. And then you cross over and you become real friends with me. And then you betray me in this way. That anger roots in a place that you don't want to go, you know, and that makes me why she's really, really hurt. She's hurt by it and surprised, I'm sure.
And that's why when Wendy was talking about people, when she was like, I'll never understand why you put your hands on someone. People attack my family all the time. People call me names. People call them names.
Right.
I understand. And some of the names she said she was called, I, as a white man, will never understand what that feels like. But at the end of the day, the people calling her that were trolls online, were haters on the street. They weren't people that she welcomed into her house and into her heart.
Right.
And were flipping their Becky hair in her face.
I don't
believe that Wendy would not take the bait. I'm sorry for what I've seen. I don't believe that.
That's a good point.
We talked a lot about Monique and the in Karen's house, but that was only half of the episode. So let's run over to Candace's therapy session. First of all, this therapist was not with the shits, and I really enjoyed watching him. I think it was a productive session, but anytime she tried to swing it where it wasn't, he roped her ass right back in.
Right.
I felt seen. I mean, I've lied to my therapist many times, so I think we all have, and a good therapist can catch you in that because, like, they know you, right. But
right.
I get why she did it. She was wrong.
I will say, though, and I've heard this a billion times to Donnie, that Candace has done so much work this season to be mature, to be responsible, and I want to give her that credit because, again, in prior seasons, she's been a lot to deal with, but this season, she's apologized more than any other season I've seen, you know. And I would say that the producers or the directors of the show, they're really painting that dichotomy between Candace and Monique. Here's Candace going to, you know, the therapist really dealing with herself. Mm-hmm. And here's Monique on this, you know, fake I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry. I'm actually embarrassed, but I'm not really embarrassed. What am I sorry for tour? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're seeing that dichotomy. And I hope that Candace with the fans and the viewers get to walk away being like, she's trying to be different. She's trying to grow. And as a watcher of Real Housewives, I want to see growth in these women in various ways, you know? And it's happening with Candace. I'm proud of her for that.
You have said that you felt Candace was growing before when we were texting and stuff. And I just wanted you to come on the show. So I said, yeah, sure. And did it. But when they showed the montage of her apologizing so many times this season, I did see it, that she is starting to grow a bit.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, too, that while she's having a great season, even before the fight, we saw Monique that felt different than the Monique we've seen in the past. Yeah. Someone super stressed out, which I think her husband, Chris, even said might have attributed to the fight.
I'm sure it did.
And just someone who, I think in her own words, said it was like she was juggling a bunch of balls or boxes on a shelf, and she's just waiting to see which one falls. And that juxtaposition happened this season where the two of them got in a fight.
Yeah. The boxes fell on Candace.
They did. I'm just glad that they didn't show, when they were showing all the tweets to Candace, I'm glad they didn't show usernames, because I'm sure six of those mean tweets were mine. Oh no, not guinea pig phase.
Oh, that was rough. That was wrong. They were wrong for that.
The editors are having so much fun this year, I feel like. They are between the PTSD flashbacks and then like the Goosebumps theme music when Monique was walking up the driveway. They're doing a good job.
And then like the kooky Brady Bunch scene change that they do with like, you know, a little box, and it's like,
I don't love that. It's a lot of stylistic choices on Potomac, which like it goes to widescreen and full screen.
It's something.
Yeah, I think they're working for an Emmy.
To that point though, Donnie, with Real Housewives, I wouldn't be annoyed if they won an Emmy, because I think that they've done a lot of work to create a culture around reality TV. Where I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know about for Potomac though, but like I wouldn't be surprised or hate it. I also think that with Potomac overall, I don't want to see fighting on this show. I can deal with the intense things of Atlanta, and I can watch those that happen, but I don't want to see fighting on Potomac. And I don't watch Beverly Hills. I'm assuming that Beverly Hills is different than New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to see fighting on this show.
Well, you can watch Bad Girls Club for that.
Right.
That's what, let's skip over then to the after show really quick. They had the producers on, and they actually said they were debating whether or not to air the fight, because they were like, this is not what this show is.
Right.
But they didn't want it to become a she said, she said, or like a glorified version of Monique's side of the story, whatever. So that's why they just showed the fight without cuts to any confessionals, without any background music, to show like, this is exactly what happened. This is the footage we have. And they weren't happy to air it, but it happened. So they did.
Yeah. I thought that was a smart move to ultimately show us what happened, but not editorialize it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we didn't see it, and then the rest of the season or a good portion of the season was about discussions about an event that we couldn't see, that would have been frustrating. And then I think we would have even more felt, we would have felt like we were being hidden something on purpose to protect one or the other. And they did a good job of showing us everything.
I don't want to paint it as something it's not, but by showing it, it almost makes it like documentary-like, where we are following this story for exactly what it is. And it wasn't edited when we saw the footage. It's just, it is what it is. And we can form our own opinions of this.
I got no joy from that fight. It was hard to watch. Yeah. It was really, really hard to watch. And I think it's because I think that with like Atlanta, like, or even like shows like Love and Hip Hop, you can see the boiling happening over the course of seasons or in different scenes. You know, the fights don't seem to mean very much. But this one, it was just kind of like, I felt gross watching. I was just like, this is not y'all. Like, let this go. This isn't y'all. You know, it was hard to watch.
Monique was on Watch What Happens Live after the episode. And I think Andy Cohen feels the same way. Every answer she gave, he was just cringing, which I feel like as a talk show host, you should be more neutral. But I understand not being able to hide your feelings as well.
Do you think that she'll come back next season?
I think it could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if she was fired, but if she sits out the second half of the season, that could be her punishment. So then if she comes back next year for her
redemption season.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It also depends if we have three cast members. I'm assuming Robin, Giselle, and Wendy, should Wendy be given another season. If we have three cast members refusing to film with someone, that's signing their fate. You can't have half a cast refusing to do scenes with someone that makes the decision for them. One of the times that I saw Andy cringe, though, I didn't cringe, but I could feel it be the wrong answer, was when he asked Monique why she went back, why she ran to the barn. And I believe this was the time that she explained that she heard Candace screaming, you're fired. And Monique told Andy, well, if I'm fired, then let's get it done. And I think her mistake was in thinking that her behavior was tied to her employment on this show, when really what the show is asking is for her to see her behavior as behavior, not as, oh, well, if I'm fired, I can really go for her then.
Right.
I didn't cringe, but that was a cringe I would give Andy, because it wasn't the answer.
Anthony, to your point, I think that that's the entire season. I think that most of these women are still playing for the cameras. They're still polished for the cameras. It feels like a job and not reality TV. You know, it feels like they're coming to work. And I think that, you know, again, Monique can wrap all of this up with an apology. I lost control. I'm human. Why she's letting this run its course for the next 3 years and also lose this job potentially makes no sense to me.
Well, Lord knows she doesn't need the job, but
right.
I still think it's a waste. It's a wasted opportunity. It's a waste. It's just a waste overall. I don't think Candace is worth that. I don't think they had a problem that they couldn't have gotten through. I think instead of being violent with Candace, she should have been vulnerable with her and told her what was wrong. And things would play out a whole lot different. I get why the meeting with them required her to be able to be vulnerable. And I can see why she didn't feel like she could be vulnerable with those women. I think it just kind of accelerated itself and she painted herself into a corner. And now this is the hill she's prepared to die on. And that's not smart.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's not smart. And the one thing money can't buy is fame. And if Monique wants fame and a opportunity to launch into other things, unfortunately, I think she needed to be smarter about how to be on this show and certainly how to deal with this situation. And I mean, I know we talked about it last week, but I think just a few months ago, she released a song called Drag Queen. And this would have been after she found out that Candace didn't throw the wine in her face. Like this would have been after finding out a lot of that. Right. So it's tough. After a while, I assume it would be tough to defend.
It's very tough to defend, but I'll be damned. Monique is a real one. I swear.
Well, I
got it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just like, it's every time it happens, I just keep thinking like, oh, you are definitely that hood girl. You are.
But then that's the thing girl. Too, though. Be she's not. Person. Yeah, she's not leaning into that. She's trying to be act in like the middle not, somewhere, right?
Be that girl. I would. Mm-hmm. I don't. I would love to see a woman like that make all of be this wealthy and have multiple homes and be the hood girl. But she's mm-hmm. still trying to play this role of poly perfect, and it's just not. It ain't yeah. it. Like right. it's not great.
So, do we think that speaks to a little bit about what Candace and Giselle say about her? Like she's trying to portray herself as someone on this show.
Right.
I do think there's truth to that. I do.
I agree.
But I think they all do.
They all do. The minute that Candace said she had a Cosby upbringing, I was like, oh, income and pretentious bullshit. And it's been that way ever since. But they all do it. Like when she said that she was trying not to get her wig snatched off so she wouldn't be a meme, that right. said volumes about a lot of what the decisions that she makes on the show. Mm-hmm. And it's, right, you know, right. is this, you know, is it because you don't want to make black women look bad or you don't want to be in your wig cap and cornrows?
Right. and that's the missed opportunity for Monique, is that she can't, I think that Phaedra had that moment. I think that Portia had that moment. Nene had that moment where they got the chance to see themselves in a real way. But Monique is missing that opportunity because she's still trying to play polish when she's that hood girl. I would love to see her play that role or be herself rather.
Right. You
know? Yeah.
I'll tweet her and let her know.
Oh, wait. And before I forget, Quinn, you said that, or Johnny, I think you some of them are who they are close to who they say they are. I think that Giselle is probably exactly this person. I don't have any doubts about that. I think that Robin is probably exactly this person. I think that Karen's had to be humbled, in some regard. I think Candace is just immature and young and is trying and is here for the celebrity and she lost herself in some regard, but she's coming back to herself.
She's not that young, though.
How old is she? 20?
She's 20. 31, I thought.
She's 31.
Oh, okay. She's 31. She's a short female. She may have lived life being like the cute, pretty, little sister. All that being said, I still do not believe that Monique on this show is who she says that she is. And I almost question if she's playing that role off camera as well. Mm. And she's lost herself in some regards. And that scares me.
That is, after seeing this, I would believe it. It's
Robin's definitely herself. She's too tired to play a role. And if she is playing a role, she's girl number four at a party
somewhere. I don't know why she's so tired. Like she don't do anything with her children. What is her day to day? Like she tries to flip some house.
Robin she shows is tired. Up like,
last minute. Why isn't this done? Oh my god. We spending all this money.
That's why she wanted to be Giselle's bodyguard so she could get that check.
Batman and Robin.
We don't need to get married. We can get tattoos. Oh,
Lord. Robin is tired. Doesn't have time.
All right. On that note, I think we did it. Gentlemen, any final thoughts? Quinn?
I look forward to seeing what's going to happen with Wendy, because speaking of what Alistair said earlier, she thinks that she can get down with dogs and not wake up with fleas. Mm. And I can't wait to see her reality show come down where either she'll have to quit or, you know, become the spectacle she signed up for. Because I didn't sign up for this. I'm like, you signed up after Candace threw a knife. This is exactly what you signed up for.
Yes.
That's my final thought.
To add to that, Wendy is just so boring. Like, I fast forward through her solo scenes.
Maybe that's why we don't know how she is as a person.
Her confessionals are terrible.
Yeah, I just don't know if this season didn't need her. And
I agree.
You could feel it. You could feel like an extra appendage in the room.
Yeah, I get mad when she like talks in group scenes. I feel like she's like a younger sibling that is trying to hang out with right. you. I'm just like, get out of my room.
And yeah. she's always the first one to talk. She's like, actually, I think. And you're like, stop.
I love it. Wendy's on season 7. We just don't know it. It's our 7th season. We don't know it.
You know, I think that I'm really curious about the rhythm of Potomac. I would love for them to define themselves as something. And after this, like, this fight scene, I'm really questioning if it's going to be my must watch. I'll catch it on demand or something, but I need them to have their own, I need the show to have their own soul, and they haven't found their soul just yet.
All right. So with that, Kelly Dodd must be fired. Know that.
It's true.
Now that that's out of the way, thank you for listening, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Know That Pod. Alistair, where can they follow you?
At Funk Soul, F-U-N-C, like functional, Funk Soul, on Instagram.
You can follow me, Anthony Casella, at Anthony F. Casella.
And you can follow me, Quentin Lamar, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter.
You can follow me at Real Donnywood on Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.